Thanks, team. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Happy Mother's Day to all the moms. Yeah, you're welcome. I'm grateful for moms. So if it wasn't for moms, none of us would be here. I'm a dad. I got to tell a dad joke even on Mother's Day, apparently. So glad that you guys are here with us this morning. Welcome to Baptism Sunday at New Hope. Yeah, you better be excited about that. This is a good morning. We have been walking through the book of Acts, and one of the most interesting characteristics or markers of the early Christian church was their unique take on baptism. Baptism goes way, way back in the Jewish Hebrew culture, back before the ministry of Christ. But when Jesus came on the scene and as he was commissioning his disciples, he established baptism as a special sign in among the Christian church. It was kind of, he basically presented a new picture of baptism. So this morning, we're going to talk a little bit about baptism. We're going to take sort of a side trip in our study through the book of Acts and the ministry of Paul and talk about baptism as it was established in the early Christian church, what it means for us today. And then we're going to celebrate with those who are being baptized. And I got two caveats. I thought I had one, but now I got two. Caveat is one of my favorite words to say. I don't even know if I'm using it right, but I just like to say it. So two caveats. First one is this. Our baptism numbers have gone up since this morning when I woke up. We have 10 people right now that are getting baptized. Yeah. Super exciting. And also, I brought a couple more extra towels, so if we get up to 11 or 12, we're okay with that. And if you're here and you're like a little nervous, like, wait, they just baptized people without going through a baptism class, just wait till the rest of the message and then you'll be okay. Either you'll be okay or you'll be like, this guy's weird. Either way, we're going to be fine. For some of you in this room this morning, what I'm going to talk about is going to be a review. But for some of you, this might answer some nagging questions that you have about baptism and maybe you'll decide that, yeah, this is the day. I need to be baptized. So what is baptism all about? Well, before we talk about that, I want to pray. And I want to pray for Lauren mentioned that Mother's Day can be a difficult day for a lot of reasons. It's also a wonderful day. And it's one of those, did you say it in both services that it's an and day? Yeah, I think that's a great way of saying it because it's wonderful and it's difficult. So I want to pray for you no matter where you're at in your journey in and through motherhood. And then I want to pray for all of us as we just want to focus in on who Christ is and what he has for us in relationship with him. So will you pray with me real quick? Father, we gave you praise with our song this morning through our words. And God, I continue to ask every week, every time that even as we're driving in the car, listening to radio, as we hear these songs of worship and praise, that you would allow them to be moments of alignment, that our hearts would be aligned with who you are. The words may not always be right where we're at that moment, but God, we want to be, we want to know what it is to be grateful of your love. We want to know what it is to walk in love relationship with you. We want to understand deeper and more fully the fullness of our salvation through the atonement of Jesus Christ. And we want to understand baptism. So I pray this morning, God, first and foremost, with this being Mother's Day, that we would celebrate well with the moms who are here. But God, I pray that you would meet with each person, but in particular, those who are on the journey of motherhood, whether they are new moms, whether they are moms of adult children, whether they are moms who have lost their children or children who have lost their moms, whether they are estranged from family members, whether this day is an easy, fun celebration or a difficult day, I pray that your spirit, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, would meet with them in a powerful and tangible way today. God, I pray in the same way because you are so big, you are so great, that you would meet with us, that you would bring clarity to this thing that we call baptism and help us to understand why it's so significant in our journey with you. I just pray that you'd be glorified in the things that are said and done in this place this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, what is baptism all about? It's actually really difficult to give a simple answer to the question because baptism is so nuanced, it's so multifaceted, and it has so many spiritual connotations that I think are both mysterious and wonderful. I've heard somebody say it this way. They said, for the human mind to fully understand and explain baptism is like a harmonica trying to interpret Beethoven. The music is too majestic for the instrument. And if you're a harmonica player this morning and I just offended you, when you've got some Beethoven ready for me, we can make the argument. But the truth is, no scholar, no pastor, no layperson can fully appreciate and articulate what happens in this moment, both in heaven and on earth. Any explanation of baptism, including my own words today, should be seen merely as a human effort to understand a holy event. But here's what we do know. Baptism is intended to be the very first act of obedience in the life of a Christian. I'll say that again. Baptism is intended to be the very first act of obedience in the life of a Christian. In Matthew 28, after Jesus had risen from the grave and before he ascended into heaven, he appeared to his disciples. And in verse 18, we read this. It says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. What I like about this is the word order here. When Jesus is giving this commissioning to his disciples, he tells them to go and make disciples of all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything he commanded. Notice he doesn't say, teach them to obey everything that I've commanded, and if they've got it all down, then we'll baptize them, right? And unfortunately, sometimes that's the way the church has actually treated baptism. Like, hey, we're so excited that you've put your trust in Christ, but we're going to watch you for a while. We're going to make sure it really takes before we let you take the step of baptism. And if that's the case in the life of the church, man, we're doing that wrong. And so I just want you to understand, like, I'm going to try to make this argument for this being the first act of obedience that we'll see as we walk through the New Testament. And if you're like, well, I've already kind of screwed that up. That's okay. That's all right. My point isn't to make anybody feel guilty. I just want us to think about baptism here. So it begins with baptizing, and then the learning and becoming a deeper disciple comes along the way. As you read the New Testament, there is no doubt that every believer, every follower of Jesus is called to be baptized. And Jesus' original disciples understood this. That's why in Acts chapter 2, which we read in our Acts series, right in the very beginning of the Acts series, we read chapter 2, in the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit descended upon the disciples with tongues of fire, and Peter preached the first gospel message, in the history of the Christian church, those who were listening asked the question, well, what must we do to be saved? And you know what he told them? Verse 38, Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. These are two really cool verses here. We'll talk about the first one first. Peter said, repent and be baptized. And you might be like, well, Matt, you're wrong. The repentance comes first. Yeah, right. So repent is one of those interesting church words that to me always kind of feels like it has a lot of hellfire and brimstone connotation to it. Repent! You know, somebody's holding up signs out on the streets with a bullhorn. I actually have come to, like, repent is one of my favorite words in the Christian vernacular because repentance is all about turning around and going in a different direction. So as I'm walking through my life, before I know Christ, I'm living my life the best way that I know how or the most selfish way that I know how or just the way that I want to do it. And I meet Christ and his way is to go this way, then I have to repent. I have to put my trust in him and begin to move in his way. But here's the thing. The beauty about repentance is it's not a one and done thing. Okay? I mean, the first time that we repent and turn to Jesus, we're his. But if you're like me, maybe on a day like Sunday morning, like the first thing I do when I wake up in the morning most days is I take a deep breath just to make sure I'm still there. It's like, okay, all right. And then I thank God. Thank you for giving me another day. I don't have any idea what today holds, but like, I want to give it to you. I want to walk in the way that Christ would have me walk. I want to honor you in the things that I say and do. Then I get up, I make my way out to the kitchen, I make my coffee, I go to get the cream or whatever, and, you know, somebody has put an empty milk carton back, and then I start, and then I realize, oh, I got to repent, you know, because that's not Jesus's way. He's not the, you know, he didn't say follow me unless somebody leaves, you know, empties the milk carton and puts it back in the refrigerator empty, then all bets are off. That's not in the Bible, right? So the reality, what I'm trying to say is that repentance is this thing that God has given us where he allows us to continue to make course corrections as we go. And that's a good thing. Imagine if the work of Christ on the cross had made salvation, reconciliation with God, a right relationship with your creator available to you. And it's just like, as long as you don't screw up, once you know the truth, you don't get it wrong. That was the problem really with the law. The law was intended to be kept completely. And as soon as you screwed it up, you couldn't do it. And that's actually what they realized. We can't do this. Well, even as followers of Christ, we're going to screw up because even as new creations, we're still fallen people. And so the beauty of repentance is as we go throughout our day, as you're trying to pursue Christ, as you're trying to surrender your life to him and you make mistakes, you know, hey, you just get right back behind him again. And I think that's a wonderful thing. So the repentance is first and then obedience. And if you're going his way, he wants you to be baptized. I mean, it's just supposed to happen just like that. And you'll receive the forgiveness of your sins. All right, this is a point I'm going to make over and over again. It is not the actual act of baptism that forgives your sins, by the way. You just need to know this water is not magic water. In fact, this is hose water, so it's really not magic water. It's a little chilly. But it is not the act of baptism that forgives us from our sins. Only Christ can forgive us. He actually took care of that at the cross. Our sins were paid for at the cross. And as he rose to new life, that's when our sins were able to be washed away by the work of Christ. And this is a sign. It's a beautiful sign, as we'll talk about. So repent and be baptized. But I love 39. I just got to make a note of this. That promise is for you and for your children and all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Why do I like this so much? Well, as we've looked at the book of Acts, we talk about the diaspora. We talk about how the Jews had been scattered throughout the Roman Empire. And so when Peter is making this proclamation, he's saying, this is for everyone. For those of you who are here celebrating Passover in Jerusalem or Pentecost in Jerusalem, as well as those who are living out there. So he's talking about this geographical distance. And at the time, I don't think Peter really fully grasped the fact that it's like, oh, and it's not just the Jews that are living out there, but the Gentiles. So there's this geographical distance that he's realized this is good news for us who are here today, and it's good news for those who are out there. But it's not just, as we sit here today, we realize he's not just talking about geographical distance, miles and meters and whatever, the cubits. He's talking about the distance of time. Like, this is true for us today. This is, when I read this, this is good news for me, because this promise that Peter spoke about at the day of Pentecost was for me as well. It's for you as well, for all who are far off. We're about 2,000 years off. That's a ways off from Pentecost, right? But that's for us. So this is great and good news for us. But again, there's the word order. So he says, repent and be baptized. And I think there's a sense of immediacy here. First of all, repent, make a decision to turn away from your old life and follow Jesus in a new life. But then immediately following that decision, take the first step of obedience in baptism. And I believe that first step is kind of, in some ways, is what seals that decision to follow Jesus. And so baptism is the initial sign of a faithful heart. And then this is what Peter went on to say. I don't think I have a slide for this, but in verse 41, it says, Peter didn't say this, but this is what it says. It says, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. So he said, repent and be baptized. And if you're like, well, I don't know if he meant immediately. Yeah, it happened that day. He didn't say, repent, sign up for our baptism class, and in 3 weeks, we'll baptize you, right? Repent and be baptized. And that day, 3,000 were added to their number that day. And only that one legalistic lady was like, you can't do that in the same day. She didn't exist yet. That's a Western thing. That's the pattern of obedience, though, that we see in the New Testament. Believe and repent and immediately take the step of obedience of following Jesus by being baptized. We see this in Acts 8. We talked about this as we move down through the Acts series, as Philip explains the gospel to a foreign dignitary, the Ethiopian eunuch. Remember that story? He's reading a scroll as he's going down the road in his chariot. He's reading a scroll from the book of Isaiah, and he's trying to understand who the prophet is talking about. And Philip runs up beside him and he says, do you understand what you're reading? And he's like, I know. Actually, I don't. How can I understand this? And Philip's like, well, let me help you with this. And he goes on to explain who Christ is and to explain the gospel. And And when the Ethiopian eunuch hears the good news, he doesn't want to wait until he's studied more and gathered all the information. He wants to begin to follow Jesus right away. In verse 36, it says that as they were passing by a river, he said to Philip, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of me being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." The eunuch answered, "I believe that Jesus is the Son of God." Okay, what's really cool to me about verse 37 is in your Bible, there might be like an asterisk or that verse might be in brackets, or for some reason that verse is highlighted. It's because our oldest manuscripts don't have this verse included. So what a lot of historians think is that somewhere along a well-meaning scribe kind of wanted to make sure that we weren't just baptizing people willy-nilly, that people understood why they were getting baptized. So he kind of put this in there because you would assume that Philip wanted to make that clear. And maybe Philip did say this. Maybe he said, I'm sure he probably got a little bit of clarification there. But what's interesting is, you know, the man said, "I believe," and Philip wasn't like, "Well, you got to go through a 50-point, you know, survey to make sure you really got this down before we jump in the water." No, like Philip is like, "If you believe," he said, "Man, I believe." And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. It's a great story. On another occasion in Acts 16, which we just talked about just a few weeks ago, we read how Paul and Silas were in prison in Philippi after they had been like falsely accused and arrested, brought out into the public square. They'd been stripped and beaten, then been put in jail. And because they were so dangerous, they were made sure that they weren't just like thrown in jail, but they were put in stocks. And then in the middle of the night, there's this giant earthquake, chains fall off. The jailer comes back, "I'm doomed, everybody's gone." And they said, "Don't worry, we're all right here." You remember the story? Good, because I just preached it again there. and in that moment, it's different. this probably wasn't one of the methods in the personal evangelism class. Like, you know, just wait till there's a force of nature. And then they just say, we're still here. And he's like, "Man, I believe in your God. I'm in." Check out how this happens. He says, "What must I do to be saved?" Paul and Silas say this to him. They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." Now, verse 32 says, "Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all the others in his house." So they explained who Jesus was and what he had accomplished. So they weren't like, they wanted to make sure that it was fully understood. Why? Because this was not only good news, this was the most important news. And this was life-changing news. They wanted to make sure that they got it. But it says this in verse 33, "At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his household were baptized." Okay. I just love how like scripture unfolds. He hears the good news. He believes. He's ready to be baptized. But you know what? How do we know that he really got it, that he really understood? Because before even he wanted to take the step of baptism and following Christ, he's filled with compassion for these guys, and he wants to treat their wounds. But man, like, there's Jesus in the flesh, right? Like, he gets it. Is the Holy Spirit at work in him? Sure seems like it, right there in that moment. "Man, I want to be baptized, but you know what? Let's take care of you guys." And then he goes and is baptized, but not just him. His whole household is baptized, right? Sorry, a little holy water there for sure. Here's some of you in this room were probably baptized as a little child, but your parents were probably part. Maybe as you were a kid, you went to a church where the priest or the pastor or the bishop or the deacon or whoever it was in your tradition took you when you were a little baby and they baptized you. And they brought you in, they sprinkled some water, however that worked. I think in our tradition, we don't do that. In our tradition, we dedicate infants, babies. But baptism, we believe, is a decision that you make as a person that's come to an understanding of the gospel, and you say, "Yeah, I want to follow Jesus." And but that doesn't mean that we think there's necessarily that it's wrong to baptize an infant. It's just we want to wait till the person has that opportunity. I when I read about the Philippian jailer here, I'm like, you know what? He didn't want to take a chance. He's like, I want to follow Jesus. I want to be baptized. He's like, and I want my whole family to be baptized. Right? And I think that the heart of a parent there, I think that's great. And again, it's not the act of baptism that saves you. And I think that's maybe one of the hesitancies that we have in our denomination for baptizing infants is because we want people to know, like, listen, it's It's not like sprinkling somebody or immersing somebody in water that saves them. There's no tradition or act or something that you can do. It's an understanding who Jesus is, a decision to repent, to go his way. And then you just have the sign of baptism that marks that. And so maybe you're like, if you're here today and you're like, well, I'd like to be baptized. I was baptized as a child, but I might hurt my mom's feelings if I get baptized again because maybe she doesn't understand. I'm not here to like hurt any mom's feelings, especially on Mother's Day, okay? But I do. I would say wrestle with that. Your mom will probably understand. And besides, you know, if it's like, okay, make mom happy, make God happy. You know, maybe give mom today and then like make God happy right after that. But this is really about moving in obedience and saying, I get it. I get who you are. I want to follow Jesus. I want to be all in. And once a person admits their sin and turns to Christ for salvation, some kind of step needs to be taken to seal that decision, to proclaim heaven to heaven and earth that they are now a follower of Jesus. And I really believe, as I read the scriptures, that baptism was intended to be that step. I think that's what Jesus said. Make disciples and baptize them. Like, this is going to be the sign. I'm not saying it's replacing, you know, it's like the sign of circumcision in the Old Testament was the sign of the Old Covenant, and baptism is the sign of the New Covenant. I'm just saying it's a very important sign. I mean, maybe that is the case. I definitely don't think you can argue from Scripture that it's less than or something that we don't need to be a part of. The initial immediate step of obedience that one placed in Christ seems to be the intended sign that seals that decision. And it's so important in the New Testament, I think, that as you read through the New Testament, as you read through the Gospels, all right, I know she's cute, and I know I'm not, but this is important. Focus with me. I get it. We're good. Okay, as you read through the New Testament, every believer in the New Testament, with the exception of one, every believer in the New Testament, with the exception of one, was baptized. Who is the one? Who? The thief on the cross. Yeah. And you know why he wasn't baptized? Because he wasn't like, hey, Mr. Roman soldier, could you let me down for a minute? I need to. No, he had the most innocent, like just the most simple, beautiful, like conversion experience. He's on the cross next to Christ. Somebody is mocking him on one side, and he is like, man, like you and I, we did something to be here. This guy didn't do anything to be here. And he says to Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus says, today you'll be with me in paradise. I'm going to give you a pass on the baptism thing because we're out of here in just a little bit. It's just a beautiful story. But every other believer in the New Testament was baptized. There's not one other example of an unbaptized believer in the New Testament. You need to take that into account. Again, I'm not saying that baptism is what saves us from our sin. It was the work of Christ on the cross that provided for the forgiveness of our sins. It was his rising again from the grave that proved that he had power over sin and death. It was his sinless life as a human and his power as a holy God that enables him to be the one true atoning sacrifice for our sin. But baptism is a beautiful sign that marks that. And baptism is a command of Christ. It's our first opportunity to obey him as Lord and demonstrate that we have truly surrendered our old way of life in order that we might walk in the new life that he has given to us. I think it demonstrates that we understand that we have been saved from our sin by Jesus and only by Jesus, and that his atoning work on the cross and his miraculous resurrection have now given us new life as well. My notes... I'm a little repetitive in my notes. I keep wanting to make sure that for some reason, I tell you that that's not what saves you, but it's a beautiful picture of our salvation. It's kind of like my wedding ring. This isn't my initial wedding ring. My wife got a ring of gold with diamonds, and she's like, I'm going to give you this rubber one. I actually have a really cool wedding ring as well. I don't wear it much anymore because I kept getting it caught on stuff, and this one was easier to deal with. But the wedding ring is a symbol. It's a picture of mine and Shelley's marriage. This is not our marriage. This is just a symbol of our marriage. And if I take this off, do I cease to be married to her? No. Sorry, you're stuck with me. You know, So when I do weddings, all pastors, a lot of us do this. You know, we take the rings, and we at one point in the service, we hold them up, and we explain the rings. And it's not like that show on Fox where, like, they bring in the magician, and he's got his face shrouded in darkness, and he gives away the old tricks of the other magicians, right? And this is how they saw the lady in half and put her back together again. There's not that thing. We're just like, it's a circle without beginning or end. And everybody's like, ooh. And I'm like, I went to college for that. So no, it's just like, this is a simple picture of something that's much bigger, something that's much more beautiful, something that's much more profound than a ring. But how do we, like, this is supposed to be a one-time relationship with somebody that, for better or for worse, like, you are united. And so it's a picture. But baptism is a much more significant picture, because this is a symbol of our being unified with Christ, of our being buried with Christ and brought to new life with Christ. I think it's the most powerful symbol that we could have, because it identifies us with Jesus' death and resurrection. In Romans chapter 6, the Apostle Paul writes this. He says, "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase?" In other words, and this is something I think we in the West should pick up on. Like, oh, I've said the sinner's prayer. I've asked Jesus into my heart. So now I just do whatever I want to do. And in the end, I get to go to heaven. This, like, apparently there was a little of that idea, that mindset, even in the early church. Should we just go on sinning so that God's grace looks even greater? When the worse of a sinner I become, the greater his grace? No, Paul says, no, by no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of, through the glory of God, through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Baptism is meant to be the first step of obedience that identifies us with Christ in his death and resurrection. It's a incredibly mysterious and wonderful thing. And Paul continues in verse 5, "For if we have been united with him in death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in resurrection like his." So when number one, we've been made new, but maybe you don't feel like you've been made new sometimes. Maybe you feel like, why do I have to keep repenting? Why do I keep screwing up? Because we've been given new life. We are a new creation. Paul said in 2 Corinthians, the old is gone, the new is here. But we also know that this we are new spiritual creatures who are still inhabit the old physical body. And we still stumble. We still fall. We're still broken. Someday this body's going to give out. We're going to be put in the grave. And then we're going to experience resurrection like Christ's resurrection. We're going to be brought out of the grave, given a new physical body. I don't know if you know this, like, we're all going to get physical bodies back again. If you just thought we just get wings and we just go hop around on clouds, I don't know where that came from, but that's not what the scripture says. Like, heaven and earth are going to come together. It's going to be amazing. We're going to have perfected bodies. There's going to be life to live. Those bodies are going to be physical, tangible. I don't know if poking is allowed in God's kingdom, but if it was, you could poke each other and feel that body. It's not just a spirit. This is going to be amazing. It's a resurrection like his. "For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him." Again, baptism. Do you believe that, church? If you died with Christ, that you will also live with him. Like, that's why this life is so difficult sometimes as Christians, because we kind of have to plod and persevere through, because first of all, the world comes against us. Second of all, we don't even need the world to come against us to have to struggle, because we're still wrestling, even though we're new creations in one sense. We're still trying to break free from that old self, and we know that a day is coming when those chains, we won't even think about them anymore. And baptism is meant to be a reminder of this. It's a first step of obedience, and it's a reminder of us of a spiritual reality in our life. You know, one of the things that as I read through the Gospels, there's a lot of things that I see Jesus do that I'm like, man, we tend to think it's one thing or another. Jesus says something, it's like he either means this or he means that. We have theologians come up with names for the this and that, like Calvinism, Arminianism. They will fight with each other over these things. And it's like, you know, he's just bigger than that. When Jesus says, he has this thing that he says over and over again in the Gospels. He meets somebody. We see their circumstance in life. I'm a tax collector. I'm a rich young ruler, whatever. And he says to them, come and follow me. Follow me. And sometimes we don't know what to do this. Somebody says, it's a command. You have to follow Jesus. And others say, no, it's an invitation into a new way of life. And I say, no, it's both. It's both of those things. Like, as parents, I think we kind of get this, right? As parents, we give commands, we give directives that we also know are an invitation. Like when I give a directive, when I say to my kids, clean your room, they're old now, they don't clean it anyway. But when they were little, I said, clean your room. I would say, you know, I wouldn't want them to think of that as an invitation. Hey, I'm inviting you to go clean your room. No, I'm telling you to go clean your room. Okay, so there's that aspect of come follow me where it is a command, right? Like only by following Jesus can you know the Father. Like Jesus didn't say, like, believe up here. He said, follow me. But he's also in that command, he's offering us a better way. So parents, again, when you give your kids directive, 99% of the time when you give them directive, unless that 1% time where you're just mad and you're just like, I'm just telling you to do this, and the why is it doesn't matter because I said so. But the other 99% of the time, you're saying to them, do this thing, giving them a command or a directive. But the reason why is because you're giving them an invitation to, you want them to enter into a better way of living. You want them to make a decision that you know is going to profit them. That in the short term, they might not see how much more beneficial that is for them. But as they walk in that, they'll see the value of it. And their life will be better. And their odds of experiencing protection and prosperity increases if they will follow your wisdom, right? So I look at Jesus' command to follow me, and I'm like, it's this amazing, it's a command, it's an invitation. We couldn't follow him if he didn't invite us to follow him. We couldn't have salvation if he didn't invite us into salvation, and we couldn't have salvation if he didn't make it available for us. So it's just, okay, what does that have to do with baptism? I think baptism is similar in the sense that, it's a command. He says, be baptized. So you need to do this if you're a follower of Christ. It's also like an opportunity to enter into something that wouldn't otherwise be available to you, to enter into this relationship with Jesus Christ. And then it's a symbol, it's a picture, and it's a testimony. Like, it tells other people. In fact, there are people that have come to baptism services, have watched somebody get baptized, heard them share their testimony, and they're like, I want to do that too. Like, I believe in Jesus. You've given me the courage through your example to say, yeah, I want to follow too. And so it's just, it's multifaceted. It's amazing. So here's my real question about baptism. There's lots of questions I have about God and theology. A lot of those questions, I don't feel like I need all the answers to, because I'm really comfortable in the mystery of a lot of things. So when it comes to baptism, I don't have, like, even though I probably did a really poor job of our trying to articulate all the incredible things about baptism in the last 25 minutes or however long I just talked for, the only question I have about baptism is this. When did it stop becoming the first step of obedience in the life of the Christian church? I actually have looked into that because I want to know, like, how did we get here? It looks like it was sometime in the last couple hundred years, maybe even going back as far as 300 years. So I'm assuming somewhere it became this gradual shift where we sort of set baptism aside for what we tend to call now like the sinner's prayer. And I can understand, I understand the desire to articulate through words a commitment that you're making through Christ. I think that's totally normal. In fact, I actually think it's scriptural. I mean, I think that's part of confessing. When Paul says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your tongue that Jesus is Lord, that's certainly a confession of faith. Although in Paul's context, he really meant like if you confess that Christ is Lord, if you say Jesus is Lord, that meant that you were saying Caesar's not Lord, Jesus is Lord. That meant that you were kind of, I mean, that's all in right there to make that claim in the Roman Empire. That you better be sure. But somehow we switched out baptism, and baptism became less important. It kind of became this thing that, like, yeah, it's cool, we do a baptism service, and someday I think I'll get baptized. And the reality is, like, no, like this is supposed to be first step. This is supposed to be like, this is how you tell everybody, I'm following Jesus. This is how you affirm to yourself, yes, I'm doing this, man. I am all in. And somehow we've kind of lessened it. Now listen, if you've been saved for a long time or short, like if you're like, if you feel right now in any way, shape or form that I am beating you up with that, I'm not trying to. I don't think it's your fault at all. I think it's more of a point of what we've kind of the way we've done things in the church. We took a sacrament or an ordinance that came from Jesus himself. And we've said, I think what he really meant was just, you know, say a prayer, come to the altar. It's like, no, he said be baptized, right? So that's why here at New Hope, if you can articulate your testimony, if you say I'm a follower of Jesus, here's what I believe, and you want to be baptized, then we're going to baptize you. Because that's the example that we see from Scripture. I was talking to somebody who's getting baptized this morning. I just talked to them yesterday. They're like, what are you doing for Mother's Day? And I said, going to church, baptizing people. And they said, oh. And I said, do you want to be baptized? And they said, well, yeah, I want to get baptized, but I can't. Why? Because I haven't done all the stuff. I'm like, have you trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Yeah. Well, you've pretty much done all the stuff. Like, that's the most important part of the stuff. That's the main stuff right there. If you can confess that, we'll baptize you. I'm super excited about that because that person's my sister. And we're going to baptize her today. And if you'd have told me when I was a teenager that I was going to be the pastor that baptized my sister someday, I would have taken that bet, man. That would have seemed like smart money to me, easy money. Yeah, that's right. I'm all in on that one. I said that to my brother yesterday. He's like, I'd have taken that bet too. So the point is, man, like this is me saying, I want to follow Jesus and I want you to know I'm following Jesus. There's, with that accountability, with that testimony comes accountability, right? And so the other thing about it is this. How am I doing on time? 146. We're doing great. But I know we got to baptize 10 people. Okay. Last thing. I mentioned my wedding ring. Imagine that when I proposed to my wife, I said, will you marry me? And I showed her her ring. And she said, yeah, I'll marry you, but I don't really want to wear a ring around. And I don't really think we need to have a big ceremony or reception, throw a big party. Let's just keep this relationship quiet. Let's keep it on the down low. Let's keep it between you and I. No public announcement that I'm yours and you're mine. How do you think I would have felt about that? I mean, I was pretty desperate and she was pretty good looking. So I'd have still married her, but I think my feelings would have been hurt, right? I think I would have had some questions, probably would have needed some therapy a little later on, but that's pretty much what we're saying to Jesus, I think, when we accept the work of Christ for our salvation, but then we just say, let's just keep this between you and I. Let's just keep this on the down low. No need to let everybody else know about this, right? No, this is our chance to let everyone else know, to let people know, to be proud of the greatest thing that ever happened to us. When Shelly and I got married, I wanted everyone to know. I wanted everyone to know that... winner, you know, and this is how we should feel about baptism. It's our opportunity to boast in the greatest love, the great love of our incredible Savior, to tell everyone what that he chose us, right? It's our opportunity to enter into this process where he's remaking us in his image and to know that we're going all in on that process. And that's what these people are doing this morning. I'm going to be honest with you. Like, I just met some of these people this morning. And again, I get it. Maybe some of you are like, that seems risky. Listen, life is risky. Life is messy. If somebody can come to me and say, man, I'm following Jesus, and I heard you guys will baptize people, there's some water. What's to keep me from being baptized? And I'm saying, not me. I'm not going to keep you from that. what you do after this, you and God got to work on that together, okay? But I'm not going to be the person that says, well, why don't we wait a little bit and see if this really takes before we get you baptized. Here's the thing. If you're sitting here this morning and you're like, he's going to ask us if we want to be baptized. And I'm feeling like this is like, I'm like he's trying to sell me a timeshare. No, I'm not. That's way better. I will say this. If you can tell me, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe he lived a perfect life as a human being, that he willingly went to the cross on my behalf. He laid his life down, and then 3 days later, he took it up again so that I can have forgiveness of my sins, so that I can have new life. If you can, however, you can articulate that to me, and you say, I want to be baptized, I'll do that. We'll do that right now. In a minute, I'm going to invite the people that are being baptized to come up and sit in this first row of chairs. The team's going to come up. They're going to play a song while I run and put on my wetsuit because that water's cold. I don't even have a T-shirt. We gave away all of our T-shirts, even the one I brought with me to wear today. This is awesome. And if you want to come up and get baptized, I can't give you a shirt. But you know what? You're putting on the jersey of Team Jesus this morning. Like, you're putting on the ring that tells everybody, I am his and he is mine through this baptism. And I invite you to be a part of that. If you're here and you're like, you know what, Matt? I really won't. I really do. I feel like God is moving me to be baptized. But is it okay if, like, I talk to you about it and we do this soon? Yeah. I mean, we can keep this water here for a few weeks before it gets too stagnant that I'm worried about disease, right? And we can empty this tank out, fill it up again. Like, if you want to, I'm telling you right now, like, if the Spirit moves and you say, I need to take the step of obedience, we'll fill up the tank for you. We'll do it for one person. Every time we do it for one, we generally have a whole bunch more by the time we get here. So at least a few, yeah, praise God. And so I'm just giving you that invitation. I don't want anything to stand in the way of that. If you're saying, I'm going to follow Jesus, and I want everybody to know. So what we're going to do is I'm going to invite the team up. They're going to play a song for us. It's partially a segue so that I can go get my baptizing clothes on. And those of you that are going to get baptized this morning, if you just want to come up, you can sit in one of these first two rows over here. Actually, do me a favor and leave these three seats open because that'll help our camera. If you're a person that's in their family and you've got their towel and you want to, when they get baptized, you can just come right over here and meet them as they're climbing out of the tank with their towel. I didn't even get to give everybody instruction this morning. There's some black carpets there. Try to stay on those while you're drying off, and then just track water through the rest of the church when you go, you get changed. That's the best we can do. I want to pray for us right now. Will you pray with me? Almighty God, you are great. You are good. In this moment, we just want to give you all the praise and the honor and the glory. God, I confess that I get a little carried away sometimes. I enjoy having fun with my brothers and sisters. But God, I want the focus to be squarely on the work of Jesus Christ right now, what he did on our behalf. That's what we're celebrating is our salvation, our reconciliation to you. God, you created us in your image. You created us for a relationship with you. We know that that relationship was broken in the beginning, but we also know that in our own life that we were once broken and apart from you. And God, now we're saying that we understand that you've given us the opportunity, you've given us the pathway through Christ to be put back together, to be brought back into a right relationship with you. And we're taking full advantage of that. We're going to follow Jesus. We're going to repent and go his way. We're going to trust that his way is best. And we're going to let everybody else know that. So that's what we're doing in this moment this morning. God, will you be glorified in this? God, would your spirit land on this place? Would you fill each one of these believers in a special way today as they come up out of these waters? To you, triune God, Father, Son, Spirit, we give all the praise and the honor and the glory. Amen.
We're going to go back to the chorus of Who You Say I Am. Guys, would you stand and join us?
Who the sun sets free, all is free indeed. I'm a child. Child of place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child.
There you go. Thank you. Okay. Can you guys hear me? All right. I didn't have time to put on the little wetsuit, and it's a little chilly. I'm just going to let you guys know ahead of time. So I'm with you. Okay. What I want you to know is I'm going to actually give you guys a little grace because this might be the chilliest it's ever been. I know. Sorry. But you know what? There's good scientific evidence that cold pools, it's all the rage these days. It's healthy. It's about Jesus, and it's about your relationship with him. I'm actually going to have you come up and stand beside me here, and I'll give you your testimony, and then I'll bring you right in and do this so you don't have to stand in the water and try to talk while you're freezing. If that works for everybody? Okay. Yeah, trust me, you want to say, yeah, let's do it that way. Okay, so we've got four children and six adults, I believe, today. And so we're going to start, yeah. We're going to start with the younger ones. And so inside your bulletins, there's some testimonies. You don't have everybody's testimonies because some people decided, since we were able to write the testimonies out. So, but I have talked to each person. They've articulated their faith in Christ, just so you know. I'm going to start with Miles. Are you okay with that, Miles? So you can prove to everybody that this can be done. I don't even feel it anymore. You get used to it. All right, Miles, come right over here.
Miles, can you tell us why do you want to be baptized today?
Because everybody needs a Savior, and I'm choosing to follow the one and only true Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. All right, I'm going to help you in. Come on up.
It is chilly.
It is. Yeah, you know what? This is a moment of pain, a life and eternity with your Savior. We're going to face on this way. It's not that bad. I have to do this 10 times. You'll be all right. All right. Miles, we've heard your testimony, and based on your profession of faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we baptize you now in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All right, Maggie or Charlie, who wants to go next? All right, come on right up. Thanks, Maggie. Come right up here. All right, Maggie, you can lean right in that mic. Why is it that you want to be baptized today?
I want to get baptized because I love Jesus, and I'm choosing to show everyone that I'm following him with all my heart, and I trust in his word that I have been forgiven.
Amen. Amen. And we saw your brother do this. It is pretty chilly, but you'll be okay. It'll be quick. Think of all the stories you're going to be able to tell. All right. Maggie, based on your profession of faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we baptize you now in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Charlie? Charlotte, why do you want to be baptized today?
I want to get baptized so I can show everyone that I am going to follow Jesus, and I want to live my whole life with Jesus by my side.
All right. Of faith, based on your testimony, we baptize you now in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Oh, man. When we do that offering, I think we need to build in a heater for this thing. This is... These poor kids. All right. We got another kid here. Come on right up. Eliana. Okay. Since we don't have your testimony in the book, will you tell everybody your name?
Eliana.
This is Eliana Gonzalez. And Eliana, why do you want to be baptized today?
Because I want to show everyone with my heart that I love Jesus with all my heart, and I want to be a real follower.
Amen. All right, give me 1 second. I've got a mother and daughter that we're going to do. So, Mia, if you want to come up first, and Mom, if you want to just be ready. Do you guys have towels? Okay. Matt, in that office right there, there's a bag, and there should be 2 black towels right there. I've got extra towels. I wish I brought some extra ones with me. So, All right, Mia, why don't you tell everybody who you are?
I'm Mia Michelle.
All right, Mia, why do you want to be baptized today?
Because I want to show everyone that I'm following Jesus Christ now.
Awesome. And we're going to do Mia's baptism just a little bit different. And so did you bring me that picture? Oh, behind me. Oh, you already got it filled up. Her water's warm. Step in the pool and just stand up next to him, and I will just have you. Yeah. Sorry about that. I think we can do that way. Mia, based on your profession of faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we baptize you now in the name of the Father and the Son. That felt so good. That chair. Don't even worry about it. Okay, tell us your name and why you want to be baptized today.
My name is Danielle, and I choose to let Jesus Christ into my heart and follow him the best I can.
Amen. Patrick, let's do this. All right. You're a little taller.
I'll stay up. Stay sorry.
This is Patrick Esposito.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. And Patrick, tell us, why do you want to be baptized today?
I just want to let everyone know that I accept Jesus as my Christ and Savior.
Yeah. All right, step on in. I don't know what the temperature is of the Jordan River, but it is not this cold. All right, we got love. Eden. I'm going to go Eden, then Peggy, then we'll end with Austin. Did I miss anybody? This is Eden Luke. Eden, will you tell us, why do you want to be baptized?
I want to show everyone that I'm following Christ.
And you have her testimony inside the bulletin. I'm going to invite you into the bulletin. I think Eden was of the mindset that, let's do this. That was pretty aggressive. I almost lost her there. Peggy, come on up. This is my sister Peggy Crosby. I'm trying to think if this will make it easier for you to forgive me for hitting you with that rock that one day. Or if this is just another thing on the list. Peggy, why is it that you want to be baptized today?
Well, I accepted Christ as my Savior many years ago. And then I just kind of did me for a long time. And I talked about baptism a long time ago. And so when I called him out of the blue yesterday, he said, I'm getting ready for the baptism tomorrow. Do you want to be baptized? And I said, yes, I do. Because I'm done doing me. Time to do God.
So your heart makes it beat.
This is Austin Abbott. I believe his testimony is in the book as well. Austin, tell us why you want to be baptized today.
I want everyone to know I've decided to follow Jesus.
Amen. Come on in.
See, and as a guy, you're required to act like it's not that cold, so... Probably don't have to ask if there's anybody that wants to go next. We're gonna have the team come up and close us in song. I just want to pray a prayer of Thanksgiving. This is so good, isn't it, church? Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I'm just reminded of the word that says, "See what great love the Father has lavished upon us that we might be called the children of God." Without the work of Jesus Christ on our behalf, while we were made in your image, we had given up our right to be called children of God. But because of what Christ has done for us, we've been reconciled to you. God, I pray for each one of these that has stepped in the baptism waters. I pray for today and for this week, especially, that your Spirit would just be close to them, closer than they've ever experienced, more tangible and present than they've ever felt. I pray that you would continue to work in the life of this church. God, that the things that happen in this place that are of man or of me, that they would fall away quickly, but the things that you're doing here in the lives of people, in the hearts of people, I pray that that it would have a kingdom impact, that it would have an eternal aspect, and God, that you'd be glorified. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for our salvation. We pray. Amen.
That God has numbered, I was made to walk with him. Yet I look for worldly treasure and forsake the King of Kings. But mine is open, my Redeemer, though I fall, his love is sure, for Christ has paid for every failing. I am his forevermore. Mine are tears in times of sorrow, darkness not yet understood. Through the
for us to celebrate together your great, great love for us, Lord. I thank you for these people.